الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, in this past month, and especially in the past couple of weeks, many of us have probably been watching on our computer screens or our TV screens the scenes of the Hujjaj going to Mecca, performing the Hajj, and fulfilling all the rites that they're supposed to. And many of us wish that we could be amongst those people. Some of us had the fortune to actually go and be present and perform the Hajj. Today's khutbah, inshallah, will be about the importance of understanding the symbolism behind the Kaaba and understanding how important it is to bring the wisdoms of the Kaaba into our communities. What is the wisdom behind the Kaaba, or what purpose and what benefit did the Kaaba give to generations of Muslims before us and even today, and how we can transfer that understanding that this masjid is a masjid just like the first masjid that was built by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kaaba itself. So how can we bring those same wisdoms and those same benefits to our communities, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained about the Kaaba in the Quran? So this is what today's khutbah will be about, inshallah. The ayah which I've just recited in Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares, Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi-Bakka mubarakan wa hudan lil-alamin. Indeed, the first house that was built for mankind, the first house that was built for mankind, what does it mean? The first house that was built for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, there were houses before, and this house, the Kaaba, was built for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was the first house to be built. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared it the first house, it obviously means that there's going to be a second house, and a third house, and a fourth house, and a hundredth house, and a thousandth house, and maybe even a millionth house that will ultimately be built for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Kaaba was the first house, and because it's the first house, we understand what it was built for, and then take that and transfer it into our own communities. That is what we need to try to understand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ. It was put for people. And this lam in Arabic, it gives the meaning of benefit. The masjid is for the benefit of people. It is for the benefit of the community. It is not for a select few, select individuals. It's not for the imam. It's not for the shura. It's not for the board. The masjid is for the benefit of the community. And this word, linnas, it gives that meaning. So the masajid are beneficial for the community. Hudal linnas. Lalladhi bi Bakka mubarakan. It was in Bakka. And the word Bakka is another name for Mecca. And the word Bakka is derived from the word Bakka yabuku. That means that when people go to Mecca, their necks, they bow down in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether a person is a tyrant, he's a king, he's a dictator, he may be a jabir, a person who is oppressive in his own country. But when he's in front of the Kaaba, his neck submits itself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he can have no arrogance there. So the word Bakka, this word is for people submitting themselves, in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This word Bakka yabuku is what it means. Another meaning of Bakka, it means mazzaqa or mazzaja. It means to be mixed up. And the Kaaba is the only place in the world where you will find that men and women, they will be praying side by side, or even the women in front of each other sometimes. Obviously, we try, but you will find that that is happening. So Bakka also means to mix. So people, men and women, they will be mixed even in front of the Kaaba while in a state of worship. And this is again unique for the Kaaba itself. It is not for any other place. And of course, mixing can also entail the mixing of so many nationalities and people coming from all over the world, irrespective of which country a person is from or the color of the skin. Everyone comes and submits themselves in front of that Kaaba. So it was made in Bakka or Mecca. And there are also some opinions that Bakka is a specific part of the land, and Mecca is a name for another specific amount of land. And one opinion is that Bakka is the land on which the Kaaba itself is built, and the surrounding area is Mecca. And there are different opinions similar to that given by scholars, differentiating between the word Bakka and Mecca. So it is Mubarak. The place is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, Mubarakan wa hudan lil alameen. It is a blessed place. And as all other masajid, the masjid is a blessed place. It is full of blessing. And a person who comes to the masjid, he should feel blessed. He should feel the barakah of the masjid. Wa hudan lil alameen, it is the guidance for the world. And every masjid in the whole world should be a guidance for the rest of the world. It should be standing up as an example for others to follow. It should, by its actions, the people, the community of that masjid, should be, by their actions, be good examples for people to follow in their generosity, in their politeness, in their akhlaq, in their manners. So it becomes a means of guidance for the rest of the community. So the Kaaba was a means of guidance, and every single other masjid is also a means of guidance. It's mentioned in a riwayat of Ahmad that Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Rasulullah, ayyu masjidin wudi'a fil ardi awwal? O Prophet of Allah, which of the masajid was the first to be built for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Masjid al-Haram. Al-Masjid al-Haram, basically, the Kaaba, it was the first masjid to be built. Then he asked, Thumma ay? Then which masjid after that? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Basically, Jerusalem, Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, which we know is the third holiest site after Medina. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that it was built after the Kaaba, it was second to be built. Ibn Umar Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Kam baynahuma? How many years were between them? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, Arba'una sana. 40 years were between their building. First the Kaaba was built, 40 years later Al-Masjid al-Aqsa was built. Then Abu Dharr asked, Thumma ay? Which masjid after that? So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam understood that this is an ongoing conversation that is going to go on and on. So he responded by saying, Thumma haythu adrakta salah fa salli. Wherever you find the salat, pray. Fakulluha masjid. Every place is a masjid. Okay, so basically, again, this hadith also tells us that every place that a salat is prayed, it holds the same sanctity as the Kaaba itself. I mean, the Kaaba has its own level and its own status, but the same sanctity and the same respect that we give the Kaaba, every single masjid should be given the same respect, as the Prophet ﷺ emphasized, that every place is a masjid, pray wherever you come to this masjid, and obviously the sanctity and the respect of the masjid remains the same. In another ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as mathaba. Allah says, وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنَا. And we made, when we made the Baytullah, the Ka'batullah, a place of mathaba. Mathaba, it is from the word thaba yathubu. مَا يَثُوبُ النَّاسُ إِلَيْهِ. The place where people come back to again and again. And again, this is something that people who go for Hajj and Umrah again and again, they get bitten by this bug of Mecca and Medina and going for Umrah and going for Hajj. And there comes a time in their life that really they cannot resist. I personally know many people who try their utmost to go every single year if they can. And even despite difficulties, they will try their utmost to be there. And even I know one brother this year, he managed to get there without even a Hajj visa this year, subhanAllah. And he managed to perform the Hajj and come back also. So, mathaba means a place where a person comes back to again and again. Because of the sanctity of the place, because of the love of the place, because of the respect of the place. And according to another opinion, the mathaba, first of all, we should understand that the masjid should be a place where a person should feel comfortable coming back again and again. A person should feel out of place when he goes out of the masjid, like a fish out of water. As soon as he goes out of the masjid, he should long to come back to the masjid again for the next salat, or even before the next salat, just to come to the masjid and sit in solitude and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the attitude that we should have. Just like we have the attitude towards the Kaaba, we should have that same attitude towards the masjid. Another opinion of what mathaba means, in the old days, the Arabs used to call a watering place where they used to take their camels as mathaba. So whenever their camels used to get thirsty, or they themselves used to get thirsty, they used to go to the mathaba and quench their thirst. We should all have a spiritual thirst. We should all have a spiritual thirst that we should fulfill by coming to the masjid. And that spiritual thirst cannot be quenched anywhere else. So we should regard this place as an oasis within a desert, a place where the earth is moist and there are springs, and we quench our thirst, our spiritual thirst, where there is barren land and dry land, devoid of spirituality around it. So this land of the masjid is this lush and green and fertile, full of water land that we quench our spiritual thirst with. So this is another meaning of mathaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. And when we made the Ka'batullah a place of mathaba, the place where people come back to again and again, وَأَمْنَا, and a place of amn. Whenever we talk about the Kaaba, and the ayat talk about the Kaaba, they talk about the Kaaba being a place of peace. A place of peace, and it was such that in the old days, that when a person, even if he had murdered somebody, and he took refuge in the masjid, in the Ka'batullah, the people did not dare to kill him while he was in that vicinity. They waited for him to come and leave the area of the haram, and then they would capture him. But even a person who was a murderer, he was allowed to be in amn and at peace without being attacked in the vicinity of the Kaaba. So our masajid should also be a means of peace for people, and not a means of differentiation amongst people and disputes, rather a place where people come to find peace, and putting aside all different kinds of prejudices and different kinds of opinions and different kinds of racial issues and different kinds of problems that we have amongst ourselves, come to the masjid and regard it as a place of peace, a place where we can find peace. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as a place of amn. And in the same ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ أَنْ طَهِرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. We gave the order to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam to purify my house for the people that are coming to perform the tawaf, and the people that are coming to perform i'tikaf, and those people that are coming to perform ruku' and sajda. So the people that were given the responsibility, Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, they were made responsible to purify the Kaaba and to make it pure from all forms of shirk and all forms of impurity. Again, the people that are responsible for the masajid, they are responsible for making sure that all forms of impurity in any way, shape or form are expelled from the masjid walls, and the masjid is a pure place of sanctity in which there is no kind of hatred or despising each other, or jealousy of each other, or looking down upon each other. This is what the masjid is about, and this is what we should try to keep in mind, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in another place in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made the Kaaba, the Baytul Haram, qiyam for the people. And what does qiyam mean? We usually use this word for qiyam, qiyamul layl, standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But qiyam, here it means a support for the people. It became a support for the people in many, many ways. Even prior to Islam, the people used to come and perform the Hajj there. Obviously, the Hajj was contaminated with many forms of idolatry and shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He got rid of all the shirk, and He said that all of the shirk that has been committed for so many years, that is now prohibited. Any person that commits shirk is not allowed to come near to the Kaaba from this time on. So obviously in those days the people started thinking, what's going to happen to our economy? The whole economy is based on Hajj. We're going to become poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no. This is our responsibility. It is the responsibility that the people who support the Kaaba, they will be supported. And this is one of the meanings of Qiyam. So there are different meanings of the word Qiyam. It was support for those that lived around it, and also a support for those that made pilgrimage towards the Kaaba. That's one of the meanings. Another meaning, it was a means of fulfilling their needs by putting the reverence of the Kaaba in the people's hearts. People respected the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Quraysh that وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looked after the people that looked after the Kaaba. He fed them in their hunger and He gave them aman from all kinds of fear. So this is one of the meanings of Qiyam, that the people who looked after the Kaaba, other people looked up to them and respected them because of the reverence of the Kaaba itself, and this was the Qiyam. And of course, the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam for the Kaaba itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing it, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُم مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. And many other verses in the Quran that talks about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam making dua for his progeny that has been left near the place of the Kaaba. Of course, the Kaaba is not there at that time, they come back to build it later, but this is the dua, and because of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the people around the Kaaba, the people that support the Kaaba, they have been supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The similar thing applies to people that look after the masajid. The people that look after the masjid in their locality, in their community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that He looks after them and He takes care of their affairs. How can it be that we look after His house and He would not look after us? The very famous hadith that we hear all the time at all fundraisers, right? مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever makes a house for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a house for him in Jannah. So, when we look after the masajid, we take care of its affairs, we support the masjid with our finances, we come and devote our time for the masjid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sure to look after our affairs and take care of us, just like He took care of the people that looked after the Kaaba. Finally, I'd just like to talk about the importance of the Muslims themselves. Now, in the day of, on the day of Arafah, when the Prophet ﷺ, he performed the Hajj, this was probably the most blessed day in history. If you can imagine, the most blessed day in the most blessed place of the world, the Prophet ﷺ is standing and he is giving a khutbah. During the course of the khutbah, he asked a question. He said, أَيُّ يَوْمٍ أَحْرَمٍ. Which of the days is most sanctified and most respected? أَيُّ يَوْمٍ أَحْرَمٍ. أَيُّ يَوْمٍ أَحْرَمٍ. Which of the days is more sanctified and it's most respected? He asked that question three times. The people responded to the Prophet ﷺ and said, يَوْمُ الْحَجِّ الْأَكْبَرِ. The day of Al-Hajj al-Akbar, which is obviously the day in which the Prophet ﷺ is performing the Hajj, it's the day of Arafah, and they are saying that this is the most sanctified day. And in addition to that, it was not only the most sanctified day, it is the most blessed place also, and the most blessed time. So what does the Prophet ﷺ say after that? He said, فَإِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ عليكم حرام كحرمة يومكم هذا في بلدكم هذا في شهركم هذا. He says that be aware that your blood, meaning the blood of each other, your lives, each other's lives, your wealth and your honor, it is more sanctified in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than this day, than this land, and this month, the month of Dhul-Hijjah, which is one of the most sanctified months of the calendar. The Prophet ﷺ said that yes, these things, this place, this time, it is most respected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but even more than the importance and the sanctity of these things is the sanctity of the Muslim, the sanctity of his blood, the sanctity of his wealth, the sanctity of his honor. So if you can imagine, on the one hand, we are talking about bringing the Kaaba and the qualities of the Kaaba and the benefits of the Kaaba into our communities. But at the same time, we need to understand that in addition to or equal to the sanctity of the Kaaba is also the sanctity of the Muslim. In another hadith, there are many hadith which talk about this. Bara ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala who says that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْ سَفْكِ دَمِ مُسْلِمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that the destruction of the world is more lighter in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the shedding of the blood of a Muslim without right. If you kill somebody without a right, then it is more heavier in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than destroying the whole world. And according to another riwayah, لَهَدْمُ الْكَعْبَةِ حَجْرًا حَجْرًا أَهْوَنُ مِنْ قَتْلِ مُسْلِمِ. To take apart the Kaaba, stone by stone, is more lighter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the destruction or the killing of a Muslim. Another hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, قَدْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ زَوَالِ الدُّنْيَا. The respect and the status of a believer is great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than even the destruction of the world. And لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ قَتْلِ مُؤْمِنٍ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. This is another wording which has a similar meaning. But to summarize, the masajid that we have, the communities that we have, we should try to model them as much as possible. Behind the modeling of the wisdom of the Kaaba itself, which is the proclamation of Tawheed and the proclamation of Dawah to be a place of aman for the people, a place where people can come and get spiritual satisfaction. This is the reason that every masjid should be in the community, and the reasoning behind the community itself. Everyone should feel comfortable coming here, and nobody should feel out of place. If a person wants assistance, he should feel comfortable coming to the masjid. In the old days, historically we'll find in Muslim Spain, we'll find that for hundreds of years the masajid, they doubled as universities, they doubled as schools, they doubled as hospitals. People used to come there for all the reasons. And this is the type of focus that we should have, a long-term goal that we should have for all of the masajid, inshallah. And in addition to that, we should not lose sight of the fact that the respect of our fellow Muslims is just as important as the respect and the sanctity of the masajid. This is something, inshallah, that we should keep in mind. Just as a reminder for everybody, I was told to remind everyone to donate as much as possible that they can. The request is for everybody to give $20 per week, if not 20, then 10, if not 10, then 5. This is what you're doing to contribute to the upkeep of the masjid, as I've just mentioned. And inshallah, every dollar that we give will be a form of sadaqah for us, inshallah. And it will be a means of protection for us and our families. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'il al-muslimin. Fastaghfiru innahu huwa al-ghafur rahim. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد من صلى وصام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد من قعد وقام وصل على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى الملائكة المقربين وعلى عباد الله الصالحين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم امكر لنا ولا تمكر علينا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا اللهم آتنا ولا تحرمنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في فلسطين وفي كشمير وفي سوريا وفي الصومال وفي باكستان وفي أفغانستان وفي العراق وفي العالم كله واجعلنا من الذين يجاهدون في سبيلك حقا ولا يخافون فيك لومة لائم آمين يا رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العلي الجليل يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استوى اعتدلوا واستقيم يرحمكم الله straighten the lines, close the gaps, make sure the line's straight, heels on the line, stand shoulder to shoulder, make sure there are no gaps. الله أكبر.